I'm not going to try and keep to my PowerPoint. I might just talk around it a little bit, see where we go. But we're in Luke 10, and we were talking the last couple of weeks. We've been talking the last couple of weeks about recognizing people of peace, and that whole thing about how God is, He's for us, He's with us, He's one of us, He's in us, all that sort of stuff. And we were looking at these five things a couple of weeks ago about how a person of peace, they welcome us, they receive us, they serve us, they intentionally invest in them, and they operate as a gatekeeper. And I was talking to somebody last week, and there was a bit of a so what? We do all that. Come on. I don't know if you can sense the presence of God this morning. It's like, well, so what? You recognize your people of peace? You get them all lined up. It's like, well, so what? So what does Jesus say? Jesus says, heal the sick, because the kingdom of God is near. I don't know how you live with your perceptions. Do you live with the perception the kingdom of God is near? I'll tell you what, it's near now. And one of the things that Jesus is saying to his disciples is that he's saying, we need to learn how to be naturally supernatural. We need to learn to be naturally supernatural. When we identify our people of peace, when we're with our people of peace, then our message is the kingdom of God is near. And the way that we demonstrate the kingdom of God is near is that we heal the sick. And I've been on a journey over the last couple of years in terms of my own understanding of God healing the sick. And it comes out of my experience of going to Bethel and reading around the subject quite a lot. It comes out of reading the scriptures. And I don't know if you remember, there's a story, I think it's in Matthew 17, where Jesus goes up on the mountain. He has the Mount of Transfiguration. And he comes down from the mountain of the Mount of Transfiguration, and the disciples are trying to deliver a boy with a demon. And they can't do it. And Jesus says to them, oh, you of little faith. And then he does it. He delivers the boy. And then it says in the story, if you read it on in Matthew 17, the disciples took Jesus to one side privately to talk about this. And they said to him, why couldn't we do that? And he says that you have little faith. And I think that's quite strong for Jesus to say that actually you have little faith. But then he goes on to say, but actually all you need is faith as small as a mustard seed. And if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, then you can say to this mountain, move. And the mountain moves. So although he says to them, you've got little faith, the next thing he says to them is that all you need is faith as small as a mustard seed. I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed, but it's not a big seed. It's a tiny seed. We just need a little faith to step into a moment, to take a risk. And that got me thinking about praying for people who are sick. And I came to the conclusion that it's God's will always to heal the sick. I think that's true from Scripture. And so when I'm confronted with a situation where I feel like I need to heal the sick, because that's what Jesus says that I need to do. If I'm going to be a disciple, then I need to heal the sick. But also I recognize that. So when I'm confronted with that situation, there's three things that go through my head. I'm going to keep praying for the sick until they get healed. I'm going to keep praying for the sick until they die and go to heaven and then they're completely healed. I'm going to keep praying for the sick until Jesus comes back and the kingdom's fully realized. That's my approach to this commandment from Jesus to say, the kingdom of God is near, heal the sick. And then also what I've done for myself, I've given myself permission on two fronts. I've given myself permission to live with mystery. Because I don't know why all people don't get healed when it's God's will for all people to be healed. So I give myself permission to live with mystery. I don't understand. But that's okay because his ways are higher than my ways. He's a bigger God than I could ever try and work out. And secondly, I face my disappointments. I would say that if we're going to move into a place of seeing the presence of God manifest on us as a church, you've got to name your disappointments and you've got to work through it. I have done that on a number of fronts. I was hugely disappointed with God that I didn't have any children. But I've worked through that, and my testimony to you is that God is good. All the time, God is good. And I live with mystery. But if this, when we come across people of peace, I think we cannot escape the fact that God is calling us to be naturally supernatural. So what church is about for me is about having a safe place where we can practice. So I think right now, God wants to heal some sick people. So we've been praying, haven't we? We've been going after bad backs for a while. But I don't know if... Are you willing to take that little risk of faith, as small as a mustard field, that this could be your moment for healing? Whatever sickness is in your body, it's a moment, isn't it, where the kingdom of God is near. And my little faith of mustard seed is saying, actually, I want to pray for you to be healed this morning. And we're going to do that together. So if you're in that place this morning that you want to be vulnerable, you want to take a moment, I want you to stand up. It's a risk because I'm not going to guarantee that God is going to heal you this morning, but I'm convinced that we need to be praying for the sick. If we don't pray for the sick more, we won't see more people healed. So there's quite a lot of people standing up at the moment. And that sickness could be physical sickness, it could be mental sickness, it could be spiritual sickness. That's okay. So just stand with me if you're just willing just to reach out for a moment. And there's a few people standing around and we need to get involved in this. So if you see somebody standing by you and you want to see the kingdom of God come near right now, then stand with them. Go and stand with somebody. Just lay a hand on their shoulder. Just offer a place of love. And as we get into this moment, just take, Sue just said, and I think it's probably worth doing, let's just be honest for a moment. Who's got disappointment in their hearts about things that God hasn't done that we think he should have done? Let's just be honest. If we've got disappointment in our hearts, and just take a moment to just bring that disappointment back to God and say, Lord, I am disappointed. It's like, you know, there are days when we feel like Rich described. There are days when, like, Lamentations, it's like, God is, where's God? What's going on? The Psalms are full of it. But this morning, I'm going to dare to put my trust back in God. I'm going to dare to lay aside my disappointments. I'm not going to allow my, you know, God is more concerned with our hearts than anything else. And even in this moment of praying for healing, God wants you to have an encounter with the healer more than just being healed. He's into your heart this morning. He wants your heart to be soft. He wants your heart, you know, life has an ability of kicking the, to use that word, out of you. Life is tough. Life is hard. And God wants our hearts to keep soft. He wants us to keep going back to Him and be honest with Him and say, I'm disappointed. It didn't work out the way I thought it was. I believed you that time and I trusted you. But you know what? As this slide says, we live in a kingdom that is already but not yet. The kingdom's come, but it's still coming. It's not going to be fully realized until Jesus comes again. But you know what? I think there's more of the now than the not yet. There's more for now in this moment. So in that moment, just stand with somebody and say, with my mustard seed of faith, I want to speak healing over you. We release healing in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And just do that with the person by them. Just find out what that condition is, what they're standing for. And just speak as you're speaking to the mountain. Say to the mountain, move. In Jesus' name, you have no right in this person's life. We don't accept. Demonstrate your goodness now, Holy Spirit. Demonstrate your goodness now, Holy Spirit. The goodness of God, let it be released, Lord. Come on, Lord. Holy Spirit, we're looking to you. For shifts now in atmospheres, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we're not satisfied. We're just not going to sing about these songs. We're not going to sing about your goodness. We're not going to sing about your presence. Lord, we want to experience the glory of your goodness now, Holy Spirit. Release the glory of your goodness, Holy Spirit, now. Lord, we embrace the mystery, Lord. We embrace the mystery, Lord, that we don't understand why this happens or that happens. We embrace the mystery, Lord. But we do not deny your goodness, that you are good all the time. You know, there are two key facts that you need to base your life on. That is, God is good and the devil is a liar. God is good and the devil is a liar. And the devil would want you to think that God doesn't love you, he doesn't care for you, he's not concerned for you, that this isn't important to him, that this word of faith isn't for you, it's for someone else. And so, Lord, we break off all the lies of the enemy over our lives at this time. We break off those lies that I'm not important to God. I'm not on his radar. Lord, we want to release hope over this place now in Jesus' name. Releasing hope, Lord, where we dare to believe again. We dare to trust again. We dare, Lord, in this place, in this moment, to believe that, Lord, you are here. Kingdom of God, come. Kingdom of God, come. Kingdom of God, come. Holy Spirit, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's just keep pressing in for a few more moments into the presence of God. Check out with somebody. Just check how they're feeling. Check out if they know if anything's shifted or anything's changed. If it hasn't, then just keep praying again. Keep praying again. Just keep pressing in. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Faith, Lord, again. Just faith as small as a mustard seed. Ollie's just going to come and sing a song that he's written about hope. He's going to sing it over us. So again, just be in a place where you receive, as you hear the words, let faith arise in your heart. Make that connection between heaven and earth.
There's a hope It's breaking like the dawn that holds on through the storm. There's a hope, there's a place where love and justice meet. Before the mercy seat, there's a place, there's a name, Jesus. Call on his name, Jesus. You raise me up, you raise me up. And all around is wind and waves. You rescue me, you rescue me. By the power of your name, I lift you up, I lift you up. You are the God who saves, the God who saves. There's a love will not let me go. When I'm lost and far from home, there's a love, there's a peace. It stills my fearful heart. He knows the end from the start. There's a peace, there's a name, Jesus. Call on his name. Sing, Jesus. You raise me up, you raise me up. When all around is wind and waves, you rescue me by the power of the grave. I lift you up, I lift you up. You are the God who saves, the God who saves. Jesus, creator of the world, Jesus, you have overcome the world, Jesus, savior of the world, Jesus, you're the master of the universe. Coming for his own, to take his bride on home. There's a day, there's a light that the darkness cannot hide. Look to the light, he's the light, he's the light, Jesus. Look to the light, Jesus, he's the light, Jesus, light of the world, Jesus, you raise me up, you raise me up, when all around is wind and waves, you rescue me, rescue me. By the power of your name, I lift you up, I lift you up. You are the God who saves, the God who saves. You raise me up, you raise me up. When all around is wind and waves, you rescue me by the power of the grave. I lift you up, I lift you up. You are the God who saves, the God who saves, the God who saves. You're the God who saves. There's a call on his name.
Jesus, there's a name. Jesus, call on his name.
Let's take our seats. I want to be, you know, it's really important for us that we're real and authentic. So, you know, as you've been prayed for this morning, something may we pray and trust has happened in the moment, but just encourage you to keep praying and keep stewarding that. Many of you will know that the journey and the story that Sue and I are on with Sue's health. And I love the fact that my wife is the first person on her feet. And we ask people to want to be prayed. That's a commitment. Sue and I have made a covenant with God that every opportunity that Sue can get to be prayed for healing, she'll take it. Because I am not accepting that diagnosis. Period. We're not. But we're trying to be real about it. Sue's taking medicine. That, you know, for some of us in this room, I just say that medicine is not a second-class healing. You know, some of us are gifted healers. And because God has called us to be a medic, to be a surgeon, to be a doctor, to be a nurse. So healing comes through medicine as well as through the supernatural. But let's go for both. Yeah? So, you know, don't stop taking any medication this morning if you feel God has healed you. That's just go and check it out with your doctor. Because if he has, then he has. And the doctor will need to work that out with you. Yeah? So let's be real, let's be honest about these things. But let's not, you know, my encouragement to you is don't live your life as a functional agnostic. Don't live your life as a functional agnostic. Where you're not quite sure if you believe or not believe. If you believe it, then be a believing believer. That's what the scriptures called us. They called us believers. So let's believe. And let's be honest about those moments when disappointment comes. And honestly, embrace the mystery. Embrace the mystery, because that will stop you going mad. In that sense of trying to work out, why does God do this and why didn't God do that? And embrace the mystery. But recognize that God is good and the devil is a liar. And some of the things that we're fighting against is because it's in a kingdom context. You know, sometimes people do get angry with God and they say, why is God allowing that? Well, it's because actually there's an enemy at work who actually is fighting his damnedest to make people stay in captivity, stay lost. So they don't see the truth. It's a kingdom warfare. It's a kingdom context that we live in. So when you're living your life this week, let me put four questions in your head that you could be thinking about when you meet people of peace. When you're starting to spend time with people of peace or just people that you meet. Let me encourage you, treat your non-Christian friends in exactly the same way that you treat your Christian friends. Don't be any different. Don't act any differently. Don't speak any differently. Just be yourself. Don't try and be Andy Glover. Or anybody else. I'm not trying to be anybody. I'm just me. This is who I am, warts and all. But you be that. You be who God has called you to be. And in those moments, if you want to be naturally supernatural, the thing that you have to say to somebody from time to time is, can I pray for you? So if you meet somebody who's not very well, somebody who's just lost their job, somebody who's struggling with some circumstance of life, just ask them, can I pray for you? That's what I would do with any Christian friend. And more I'm trying to encourage myself to pray with them there and then. And you have to make that perception and that judgment. That's about that what we're talking about, perceiving, listening to God in the moment. Some people will respond, some people will not. You won't know until you ask the question, can I pray for you? And that's what I mean about not living as functional as agnostics. Because we need to step in. We are believing believers, aren't we? We believe. Lots of people don't believe, but hopefully in this room we do believe, don't we? We do believe that God is God. And the context of our nation right now, not being political, but we know, don't we, our trust is not in politicians. Whether they be red, blue, green, orange, whatever. We pray for our politicians. That's what we need to do. We need to engage with them where we can. One of the things that we're going to do on May the 24th at the next All Age service, we did it a few weeks ago, but we're going to do it again, is we're going to write some blessings and prayers and write letters to the new MP. Obviously Chester's had a change. But whatever you think politically about people, that man is put himself on the line. He wants to serve our city. He wants to be an MP. He's going to sacrifice time. He's got children. He's got a family. Let's bless the man. Let's honour what he's trying to do by praying for him primarily. And as a church, to say, actually, you know what? God's for you. And we want to bless you. That's what we're going to do on May the 24th when we're together in that context. We did it in February. Similarly, when sent a load of stuff to Stephen Mosley when he was the MP. So let's use that phrase, can I pray for you? Second question is, well, can I serve you? Is there anything I can do to help? You know, but again, your context will determine how that question is worked out. But just come with a servant heart. Come to bless. Come to say, what can I do to serve you? What can I do just to help you in the situation that you're in at the moment? Be generous with your time, with your money, with your resources. Third thing is think about how can you share your story. You know, everybody in this room who's a believing believer, you've got a story. You've got a story of how your life has been impacted with your relationship with God. Just be praying, asking God, how do you share your story into that context? Little bit of your story, maybe just something this last week that will give them hope that actually, you know what, my life is not that different from your life, but actually I am a Christian. I believe God is with me and he can be with you, and I've found this to be just open it up that way. And then out of that you get the opportunity maybe to share a bit of the God story. So actually to introduce them to God, to introduce them to Jesus. I think if you have those four questions, can I pray for you? Can I serve you? How do I share my story? How do I share the gospel? If you have those questions going around your head this week as you're interacting with people, we just begin to bring about the reality that the kingdom of God is near. And we just do it naturally supernatural people. You know, and I think sometimes we shy away from this because we don't want to be seen as being weird or wacky or religious or any of those sort of things. But actually, we don't want that either. We just want to be real, don't we? This is who we are. If your faith in God is real to you, then just let it be who you are in the week. Just go about living your life as you would because you believe in God. Let it impact your the way you raise your kids. Let it impact the way you live your life, the way you relate to your work colleagues, the way that you go about driving your car. Whatever, you know, just begin to apply what it means. Yeah? So many of us allow the enemy to steal that place of being in God's presence, that place of where God is with us. The enemy is wanting to steal that from us at every moment he can get. So, going back to the passage in Luke, this is Jesus giving some instructions to 72 of his disciples. Like I said last time, if you read Luke 9 is where he gives the same instructions to the 12. So, you know, if you read it, Luke 9, Luke 10, you'll see that Jesus says this stuff to the 12, they go out and do it. And they come back, and then he says it to the 72. And then what's really interesting for me, just to make that connection right at the end, in Matthew 28. So Jesus says at Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So everything that Jesus has commanded his disciples, everything that Jesus commanded the 12 and the 70, he says to them, go now and tell these others to do exactly what I've told you to do. So can you see the connections and the process that's going on in terms of our own discipleship? So Jesus commanded his disciples to go out, say the kingdom of God is near, and heal the sick. Let's be the same sort of people who do that. Bring in the presence of God into our lives as we go about doing what we do on a daily basis.